Folks, usually I read I say a prayer over the rest of our service. Today, for our prayer, can I just read the words of that song that Jen just played on that flute? Anyone know what the name of that song was? Be Thou My Vision. Today's service is all going towards a theme of faith and what does it mean to have faith and what does faith look like. We're going today, just to give you a precursor of what we're going to be looking at today in the scripture, we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, that wonderful chapter of the Hall of Fame of Faith, a lot of times we'll call that. And we've sang songs this morning about what faith looks like. Your promise is true. My God will come through, always. Blessed be your name. When things are going great and when things aren't going so great, you bring life. You bring hope. You bring light to the darkness. You restore every heart that is broken. It's by faith, folks. It's your breath, God, in my lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour it out by faith. The words of this song that we did not sing, may this be our prayer today. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my blessed thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my vision and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. It's by faith, by his grace. Be thy my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thy me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart, high king of heaven, now my treasure thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. Do you hear those words? Do you believe that this morning? High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision. O ruler of all. Folks, I can't pray a prayer more beautiful than that this morning. Is God making a difference in our lives? We've talked these last couple weeks, this wonderful symphony and three movements of who Jesus is and what he has done. A few weeks ago, we talked about Jesus being giving us a superior covenant, a superior way of living life with him. We talked about Jesus being a superior form of worship for us. And last week, we talked about Jesus providing a superior sacrifice. And the sacrifice that he offers on the cross once and for all of humanity, for all of sin, that one sacrifice covers it all. And if that sacrifice is so much more superior than anything that can ever be offered for me, then what am I offering to God in my life? In chapter 11, we turn the page from talking about who Jesus is to the application part of this wonderful, wonderful sermon that is given to us in God's inspired and errant word of God. Chapter 11 is what we all a lot of times will call the Hall of Fame of Faith, as I said a few minutes ago. And it begs us to ask the question, what is faith? Do we know it when we see it? Is it something that we demonstrate, or is it something that just is some heady concept that we just think about, like truth or peace? Is faith something that we can more concretely demonstrate in our lives? I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 11. And I know this is a large portion of Scripture to read to you. But I don't want to miss what God is saying to us in His Word. I'm glad that we are in a church that believes in reading out loud the Word of God. I'm glad that we are in a place that we can hold this book up high and not worry about anything happening to us because of the freedoms that we have to live in this place and in this country at this moment. You realize that in many places of the world, people walk for miles upon miles, days upon days, carrying a corner of one page of a Bible so maybe they can read that little itty-bitty piece of Scripture in church on a Sunday morning or whenever they can gather. They meet in sewers or at other filthy places just so they can meet together, just so they can hear the Word of God. So I don't apologize this morning for reading to you chapter 11 of Hebrews. If you brought your Bible, I invite you to turn with me as we read together this wonderful chapter of our Scripture that we can live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understood that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleasing God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, but by faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designers and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, for much figuratively speaking, he did raise him. He did receive him back. By faith, Isaac evoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and that they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called a son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. It's a lot of things going on here. And over and over and over again, that it's like a cadence, it's like a drumbeat that takes us through the entire chapter of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, by faith, by faith, by faith. And it begs us to ask the question, what is faith? And the very first chapter of the very first verse of this chapter answers that question. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. To have faith is to have hope. To have faith is to have conviction. To have faith means there's a difference being made in our lives. For those of you who follow my Facebook page, and I don't know if any of you do, but I've been putting a lot of things I've been reading lately. I've been reading a lot of books that speak to a life of faith over the last couple of weeks. And I've been challenged. As I've been reading those books in tandem with this scripture. It's been challenging me to say, what is faith and how does it look like in my life? And is the sacrifice of Jesus, is the faith that he gives me, is it making any difference in my life? Is it making any difference in our lives? What difference does faith really make? As I look through these many, many verses, and again, we just cannot possibly deal with everything that the author is bringing up in these many verses. And because of that, I really do encourage you to get involved in a life group and talk about this further and deeper than we can on a Sunday morning. There's a lot of good discussions going on at Miss Ann's house. We're talking about what this means in our lives, and I'm sure the same thing's happening over at Paul and Glenda Brown's. Folks, if you can, get into a life group and discuss deeper what is happening in these fabulous scriptures. But again, I've been challenged to think, what difference does faith really make? Throughout the history of mankind, throughout the history of God's dealing with his people, you can see themes that show us what faith really does in our lives. The first thing I see is this, that as we look at the patriarchs, as we look at how the author presents the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even going back to Abel and Enoch, as we look at the lives of the patriarchs, we find this out, that by faith, we encounter the presence of God. By faith, we encounter the presence of God. Now, what does that mean in a life of faith? Well, that means that by faith, we enter into a life of worship. We enter into a lifestyle of worship. Folks, worship isn't something we schedule on a Sunday morning. Worship is the breath of the life of faith. to say, I'm going to schedule time to worship God. As I say, I'm going to schedule time to breathe. We don't do that. As natural as it is for our physical bodies to breathe oxygen in and out, so the life of faith naturally should be breathing in God's grace and exhaling God's mercy onto others. That breathing life of faith is a life of worship. A life of worship means we sacrifice by faith. Abel, giving a sacrifice by faith that was pleasing to God. He gave his best to God. Are we giving our best to God in the life that we're offering to Jesus? Enoch shows us that not only do we sacrifice by faith, but we walk by faith. That the very steps of our life are leaving footprints of faith behind us for others to follow. Ephesians chapter 4 puts it this way. That I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love. To walk in faith means that we live life together in humbleness, in humility, in patience. Can I tell you this? That's a challenge for me. I am not a very patient man. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'm not a very patient man. But what Scripture says is your patience is a testimony of your faith. And that pricks my heart. To say, if others are watching the way I deal with life, and they see that that's what faith does, am I giving God a testimony? Or am I standing in the way of the gospel? Hebrews chapter 11. In our passage today, verse 6 of our passage today, puts it at an even more urgent way that says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must also believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. It is impossible to please God without a life of faith. Folks, the Bible doesn't use the word impossible very often. But when it does, we better pay attention. Faith opens, is our way of pushing open the door to God's presence that by grace He has opened, that by grace He is allowed to be opened for us. We sacrifice by faith. We walk by faith. Thirdly, we work by faith. The life of Noah shows us that a life of worship is a life of working by faith. Folks, don't hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we are saved through our works. I'm not saying that at all. We can't earn God's favor. But what I am saying is that grace allows us to work in a way that He has called us by our faith through His grace. Our lives should be a working testimony of what faith really is. We cannot deny what James says in his letter to the church. James chapter 2 is a very penetrating chapter for us who want to sit on the sidelines of faith. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Later on he says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. Noah was saved because he worked. Noah was saved because he heard the call of God and he put his faith into action. And he saved not only himself, but his family. I can only imagine what it had been like to build a humongous boat in the middle of a desert. That's faith, folks. Can you just imagine the ridicule of building a boat in the middle of a desert? But faith will ask us to do things that don't make sense at the time, but it's God's way of working in our lives. Secondly, by faith, not only do we enter into a life of worship, but we also wait on God with confidence. We see this in the lives of, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, that in the life of faith, that we have confidence in God's promise, that the promises that God gave to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob and to Joseph, that those promises were fulfilled. They may not have been fulfilled the way that they wanted them to be, and they may not have been fulfilled in the lives of even those people, but they had the faith that those promises would indeed be fulfilled. And guess what? God is faithful to his promise. Because we can have confidence in God's promise, we can have confidence in God's timing as well. They say, God, I know your promises, and I'm going to let you work according to your plan, according to your timing, and I'm going to have the faith to be here and see you work in ways that would awe and surprise and amaze me. I'm not going to push you along, God. I'm going to live a life of faith waiting on you to work, waiting on you to move in your way and in your timing. Psalm 37 puts it this way, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the ones who prosper in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices, saying, sometimes this world looks like things are not going to work out according to my plan, but wait, I'm in control. God is always in control. And faith is saying that God's promises are sure, no matter how much we as bumbling humanity may try to cancel out God's promises, God's promise is sure. As I read through these first 20-some verses of this chapter, it challenged me to ask myself, in faith is saying, I want more than a weekly or even a monthly spiritual checkup on a Sunday morning. I want to live a life of worship in everything I do. Faith is saying that sitting in a chair on a Sunday morning isn't enough for me. I want all of God in my life as I can. If faith is nothing more than coming to church on a Sunday or two a month, I caution you, that's not a life of faith. That's a life of checking in. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to live his faith in and through your life on Monday and on Tuesday as much as he does on Sunday morning. The second thing I see is this, that as we move out of the patriarchs and as we move into the history of Moses and the people who followed after Moses, that Moses and the children of the exile and the children of the conquest show us this, that by faith we understand the ethics of God. This was a surprising one for me as I looked at this. That as I look at the life of Moses, the one thing I can see about saith about Moses is this, that by faith we choose to do the right thing. We choose the right way over the easy way. Folks, that's a challenge for me too. I want life to be easy. But can I tell you this, that the right way is rarely the easy way. They almost never intersect. Moses refused the comforts and the sinfulness of the palace and embraced the sufferings of his people. He left the palace in Egypt and lived in the desert. He refused to be called a child of the house of Pharaoh, and rather, I want to be identified with my people and the sufferings and the torment that they were dealing with. I want to identify with them and not with the sinfulness of this pagan culture. Moses stood up against the injustice of this world and allowed God to work through his obedience. And it challenged me to think that faith is more than knowing the right thing to do. Faith is doing it. James chapter 4, verse 17 puts it this way. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. Folks, that's one of those verses that challenges me every time I read it. That if I know the right thing to do, and choose comfort over conviction, I'm walking into a life of sin. Moses shows us that also that by faith we experience the rewards of God's faithfulness. In verses 26 through 31, we see that the people that followed after Moses and into the conquest, that by trusting God, the people stepped into the impossible and experienced the supernatural. Do you hear what I said? That by trusting God, we can step into the impossible and experience the supernatural. Folks, it seemed impossible to step into the Red Sea and walk across it on dry land. But they stepped in by faith. And by faith, they walked across on dry land. And by faith, their enemies were defeated and drowned in that same Red Sea. By faith, the people of Israel walked around the city of Jericho for 7 days. And by faith, their enemies were defeated. I can only imagine what it was like to march a parade around the city of Jericho for 7 days. Could you just imagine the ridicule that they would experience day after day after day? I'm sure the first day was pretty hard. I'm sure the second day was harder. I'm sure by the third or fourth day, this was getting really old. But God says, you just keep walking. You just keep stepping. And you just wait. You walk in faith, and you see what my grace will do. Rahab welcomed the presence of God in a pagan culture. Rahab is a wonderful example of what faith can do, folks. I love that of all the people that this author can pluck out of the Old Testament and put into this chapter of faith, he pulls out Rahab. Rahab, a prostitute in a pagan country. And throughout the story of Rahab, we see this, that God does not focus on our past. When God looks at us, when God looked at Rahab, he didn't see a prostitute. He didn't see a pagan woman. He saw a person that was obedient. And God rewarded her obedience and gave her a new future in spite of her past. That through faith, God is not fair. Praise the Lord that God's not fair. That through faith, God is merciful. If God were fair, we'd be doomed. But through His grace, and accepting His grace by faith, we can experience God's mercy and God's joy. It challenged me to think this. Faith is saying, it's not about what makes me feel better in this moment, but what brings the greatest glory to God. And can I say this? Faith is rarely convenient, but faith is always worth it. One of the books I've been reading this past week has been the story of Corrie ten Boom and her life in Holland and her father Casper and her sister Betsy. And if you've ever read The Hiding Place, the story of Corrie ten Boom, if you've ever read it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read it, I urge you, I beg you, read this story. But it's what faith looks like when it says, I'm going to do the right thing over the easy thing. Their family was arrested as they were suspected of hiding Jews in their home during the occupation of Nazi Germany. And Casper, the father, was an old, elderly, sick old man when he was brought into the jail. And he was obviously not a threat anymore. He said, if you will promise me that you will not cause any more trouble, we will send you home. You do not have to stay in this concentration camp. And Casper ten Boom says this, if you let me go home today, tomorrow, I will open my doors to whoever needs me. They said, you foolish old man. They put him back in the cell, and he died 2 days later, just a few days later in a concentration camp. His daughter, Betsy, Corrie ten Boom's daughter, the further they got into the process, as he went deeper and deeper and deeper into the concentration camps, as they went into more despairing situations, as he went into further into the filth and the hopelessness and the decay of humanity in those concentration camps, I know my reaction would have been, how could you, God, put me in a place like this? I was faithful to you, I was protecting your people, and you have put me here. Why would you do this to me? That's what I would have been feeling. Am I the only one? Betsy, constantly, her reaction was, look at where God is bringing us so that we can shine God's light in a darker place. It's like everywhere God brings us, it's darker, but folks are more desperate. Folks are more needing God's grace. And they led Bible studies after Bible study after Bible study, and bringing people into the faith of Jesus Christ, even in the midst of a dark, disgusting, stinking, decaying concentration camp. Faith is not convenient. Faith is bringing God the glory. Am I so bent on my convenience in my faith that I forget to see the opportunities that God is giving me to show God's light in dark situations? You realize that the church is growing on this planet in the areas that the church is seeing the most resistance, the most persecution. And the church is dwindling fastest in those areas of the world where the church is seeing the less resistance and the less persecution. I'm not saying we need to sign up for heavy, heavy persecution. But I am saying this, that maybe I don't need to be so focused on what makes it convenient for me, but what can I do for God in this situation? Faith and convenience make terrible partners. That challenges me. That challenges me. The last thing I see is this, that by faith, not only do we enter into a life of worship, that by faith, not only do we not only understand the ethics and the reasoning of God, but lastly, that by faith, we experience the power of God. Our later heroes of the faith show us that over and over again, we see that those who live in faith experience the full power of God by doing two things. First, by faith, we endure. By faith, we endure. Faith means letting God fight the battles that we cannot fight ourselves. Have you ever felt overwhelmed in your life of faith? Have you ever felt like the enemy was just so much bigger, so much stronger, so much outnumbering that there is no possible way that you can win this fight? By faith, we endure those hardships. By faith, God comes and helps us fight those battles that we cannot fight ourselves. Faith means that God makes us strong in and through our weakness. That God will use my weakness to show how strong He is. Now, can I tell you this? I've got a lot of weaknesses. At the end of the day, I have very, very, very little to offer to God. But God's saying, that's okay. Just offer yourself to me, and in your weakness, I will show the world my strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 puts it this way. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So many times, I want to win the fight. I want to win the battle by charging into the situation that I have no hope of winning. But the problem is a lot of times I forget that the first part of winning the battle is not by rushing into a situation to show everybody how strong I am. It's by falling on my knees before God, show Him how weak I am and how much I need Him to work in my life. Say, God, I cannot win this unless I crumble at Your feet and say, God, fill me with Your grace. Fill me with Your peace. Fill me with your strength, God. I am weak and I cannot do this. By faith we endure. By faith we can endure the pressures of this life. Even when we're weak, God is strong in our lives. And lastly, by faith we persevere. Let me say it this way. Sometimes, oftentimes, victory looks very different through the eyes of faith. Sometimes, victory from the perspective of heaven is very different from what victory looks like on this side of, on this planet. By faith, we can say, you can mock me, you can beat me, you can imprison me, You can torture me. You can even kill me. But God will always have the victory. 2 Corinthians puts it this way. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. Always carrying in the body of death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So you can beat me, you can torture me, you can imprison me, you can even kill me. But guess what? The power of the crucified Christ lives in me. If I have to participate in his sufferings, so be it. If I have to participate in his ridicule, and his, so be it. If my reputation has to be destroyed just like Jesus's was, so be it. Because I have faith that God will get the glory through this situation. And I don't want to get in the way of God getting the glory in any of this. I don't want to make a fool of myself and reject God's grace. Whatever this world does to me, I want to say that through faith, by His grace, I will endure it and I will persevere through it. Is faith making a difference? Is faith making a difference in my life? Is faith making a difference in our lives? Is faith making a difference in the life of His church? I pray it does. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we know what it is to live in God's grace. But also, by faith, by my faith, the world will know what God can do in somebody else's life. And my walking testimony of what faith can do folks, the reality is we're going to leave this place in just a few minutes and go into a world that desperately needs to see what faith can do. We're going into a world in just a few minutes that is desperate and dark, and there's people that are hopeless, and there's people who have no direction, and there's people who desperately know that there's something that can change their life. And that may be you today. That might be your problem today. That might be something that God wants to do in your life even right now to say, I need hope. I need direction. I need assurance. I need something that's going to give me direction in my life. God will do that if you bow before Him in faith. I don't want to dismiss this today without giving the opportunity for those of us who want to say, God, give me more of your faith. God, fill me more in your grace so that I can show my faith out in this world. God, fill me right now because I'm going into your world. I'm going to ask Jen to play a little bit of music. And folks, if there's something that you need to pray about today, If there's a struggle in your faith that you've been dealing with, if it's like, you know what, I'm having a hard time living a life of worship constantly in your presence. I'm having a hard time with the feeling that I'm having a hard time experiencing the power of God when I really need Him. I'm having a hard time with some of these important aspects of a life of faith. God, I'm worried that if people saw my life and they saw what faith was, if they judged what faith was by looking at my life, I'd be embarrassed by what they saw. Man, that's been me a couple times this week. Maybe it's time to say, God, fill me right now. God, fill me with your grace. God, help me to have faith. As Jen plays this music, if there's something that you want to pray about this morning, I invite you to come.